Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to start.
All right, it's game day. You only got one job to do. That's win. That means you stay focused for four quarters. Know your assignments and finish on every play. Don't be looking for shortcuts. And don't even think about making excuses. Because if you want the W, you're going to have to earn it. Nothing comes for free. Not 1 yard. You pay for it with sweat, with determination, with heart. You do things the right way, because that's the only way. You pick up your teammates. You keep your head high. And you remember everything you went through to get here. Because at the end of the day, there's only one person looking back at you in the mirror. And that's one person you don't want to cheat. So now it's on you. It's your decision to make. You're going to hold back and leave a little something inside, or you're going to do your job and leave nothing.
Yeah, baby, yeah. Welcome to a very special episode of The Balance. So glad that you could join us today, Thursday, March the 7th. A day where we will say that an end to an era has begun. My name is Tom Marquisel, Presidente. I am your host, and so glad that you could join us here for a very special Balance. We're going to open up the phone lines here shortly, 917-889-8516, guys. Want to talk with you about your memories about Peyton Manning. Joining us now also is Mr. $2 Bill Josh. Josh Elmore, how are we doing, sir, on a Thursday? Well, I won't call it a solemn day. We kind of knew that it was going to happen. It's not like he died or anything like that. He is moving on to, I don't know, better things or bigger things, but he is moving on to other things. And obviously the Indianapolis Colts have decided to part ways with number 18, Peyton Manning, obviously after a very emotional press conference in Indianapolis between Jim Irsay and Peyton Manning as the world watched on. And Jim Irsay said goodbye to a very important chapter of his life, Josh.
I would agree. Jim Irsay handled it with class. I know me and you had a chance to talk about this morning, Tom, before they actually had the press conference. I know this is one thing I'm sure we're going to get into. We have a drastic difference of opinion into what actually led to this. I don't know your feelings. I thought Peyton Manning came off very smirky and disingenuous during his remarks at the press conference.
Well, and you know, certainly, guys, we want to hear your thoughts. Give us a call, 917-889-8516. And if you missed the press conference, I do have some highlights of it, and we're going to play that now, and Josh and I will be back on the outside of it. Obviously, anytime you have a situation where you have to say goodbye to a Hall of Fame quarterback, obviously one would think that it's a first-time ballot, first-ballot Hall of Fame quarterback, Peyton Manning. But where's it go? Where's it go from here? And you know, we can break down. You know, was it legit? Was it not legit? You know, I really, it's we want to hear your thoughts. So what did you think about the press conference today? Where our phone lines are open, 917-889-8516. Joining us here in a few minutes would be Mr. Philip B. Wilson, who was at the press conference and has spent a great deal of time covering the Indianapolis Colts in the days and years leading up to the parting of ways. So here is the highlights from this afternoon's press conference out at the Colts Complex in Indianapolis.
It's a difficult day here of shared pain between Peyton, myself, the fans, everyone. I think, you know, in that vein as well, the 18 jersey will never be worn again by a Colt on the field. And this process has been a long, difficult process. I know Peyton and I have had numerous conversations over the months, and we always kept trying to come back to the circumstances that were before us, and we tried to put each other in each other's shoes and tried to realize what the situation was for the franchise, what it was for Peyton. And in the end, those circumstances were too difficult to overcome.
For 14 wonderful years, the only professional football I've known has been Colts football. Our team won a lot of games here. I've played with so many great teammates here, and I've been part of a great organization here, an organization and an owner who I respect and continue to respect. I've been a Colt for almost all of my adult life, but I guess in life and in sports, we all know that nothing lasts forever. Times change, circumstances change, and that's the reality of playing in the NFL. Jim and I have spoken extensively about where we are today, and our conversations have led both of us to recognize that our circumstances make it best for us to take this next step. This has not been easy for Jim, and it certainly has not been easy for me. Jim, along with Bill Polian, drafted me 14 years ago. Jim and I have always been close, and we made a lot of great memories together. He's always been good to me, and Jim, I will be forever grateful. This town and this team mean so much to me. It truly has been an honor to play in Indianapolis. I do love it here. I love the fans, and I will always enjoy having played for such a great team. I will leave the Colts with nothing but good thoughts and gratitude to Jim, the organization, my teammates, the media, and especially the fans.
Colts fans wonder why you didn't retire a Colt. Did you consider that? You're not done. You still feel like you have something to prove?
Well, I don't want to retire. And no, I don't feel like I have anything to prove. But nobody loves their job more than I do. Nobody loves playing quarterback more than I do. And I still want to play. And there's no other team I've ever wanted to play for. Nobody's had it better, you know, than I have playing for the Indianapolis Colts for these 14 years. I can't say how thankful and how fortunate I feel to have played here, but I love playing quarterback.
All right, that was a portion of the press conference out at West 56th Street at the Colts Complex here in Indianapolis. Joining us also, as always, during the football season is Super Colts fan, Mr. Brian Jensen, as well as $2 Bill Josh. Guys, let's break down this real quickly, though, and I know we've all got some things we're pretty passionate about and like to talk about and certainly want to get those out. And guys, we're so glad that you've joined us, and if you're joining us across the United States here, this is a very special episode of The Balance. Give us a call, 917-889-8516. We want to talk with you about your memories about Peyton Manning and the Indianapolis Colts. Now, Brian, we'll start with you. I know one of the biggest reasons that you became a Super Colts fan was Peyton Manning. And I know there are some things that happened today that we're going to get to here in just a few minutes that kind of got your feathers ruffled, and as they should. But let's talk a little bit about Peyton Manning and what he meant to you as a fan.
It was just everything that he did, the way he presented himself on the field, his leadership, and he took control. I mean, he was an offense. He was the Colts. He was everything about him. I mean, he would go on. You would actually know, like, every time that he stepped onto the field, your chance of getting a touchdown or field goal were like 50-50. With him on the field, it was just, you felt okay. If you were down by 21 points, you felt all right. 2 minutes left in the game. You guys had the ball. We had the ball at the 10. You know, it's all right. We got Peyton Manning, you know. You there?
Yeah, we're here. Also joining us is Phil Wilson. Hi, Phil. This is Tom, host of The Balance here. So glad that you could join us. Are you with us? I thought we lost him. We had him, so I guess we don't. But go ahead. If you, go ahead, Brian. I apologize.
You always felt comfortable with him being out on the field. You know, you know that. You know, you felt all right. You know, his leadership, his presence, and the way, you know, the way he controlled the offense, and, you know, his ability. I mean, he ran it his way, and, you know, his way only. He was perfectionist, and we can't sit here and talk about how he was and all this because, I mean, he's still going to be that way no matter what team he goes to. And, you know, it'll still continue. The legacy will still continue, not as a Colt, but, you know, it's still going to continue, and I'm excited to see where he goes, and I mean wherever he goes, I'll be one of the first ones to buy his jersey. I mean, I'm not going to say I'm not going to be a Colts fan anymore because I mean I bleed blue, but I'm going to follow him, and I'm still going to root for him no matter what, and he'll always be a Colt, and I hope that when that day comes that he decides to retire. You know, he can be done with his contract or whatever, however it can possibly happen with whatever team he's at, and come back and sign a one day, thing with the Colts and retire a Colt. And I really think that that's what will happen.
All right, Brian, joining us, Brian Jensen, super Colts fan, always down at the home games, dressed up in all his gear and rooting on the Colts. Also joining us is Mr. $2 Bill Josh Elmore, my co-host during the football season, but a very special guest now who follows the Indianapolis Colts and has certainly been a face in the local media here in Indianapolis, talking about Philip B. Wilson, the one, the only Philip B. Wilson. Philip, how are you doing, sir?
Oh, I'm just driving back home right now and trying to decompress a little bit. It was a rather eventful day, and one, you wake up in the morning, you know you're going to remember the rest of your life, and certainly was interesting. A lot of emotion, and couldn't help feel a little sadness seeing this unfold and breaking it all down. So, I wrote this a little while ago on the blog. I mean, you think this ride's going to last forever, you really do. And then all of a sudden you blink and it's over and you're like, it's like that press conference there, it's 22 minutes. You're like, wow, that was fast. And somebody texted me back or tweeted me back and said, that's how I feel about 14 years. It all went too fast.
Exactly. Well, Phil, and we're so glad that you took some time, because I know that you get inundated with media requests, especially when something big happens with the Colts. I don't know who gets more requests, you or Bob Kravitz.
Yeah, Bob gets a lot. I turned down a half dozen. I've done. You guys are it for me. I don't think I'm gonna do any more tonight, but I think I've done about 10 today. So.
Well, We appreciate you taking time to join us, and obviously we just played right before you got on the air with us here. We played some portions of the press conference, and obviously it was a very emotional time for Jim Irsay and Peyton Manning both. It was hard for them to say goodbye, but do you really think that it was the best decision for the Colts? And I heard you talk on another radio show today, which we'll leave the name out of it, that he's under the belief that Jim Irsay had his mind made up a long time ago that this was the road they were going to go, and nobody was going to change that, no way, no how. What are your thoughts on that?
No, that's exactly what I thought. I thought that Irsay made up his mind a long time ago. I thought Peyton and him knew where it was headed, where it was going. I think a lot of this public posturing was just for, public sentiment, trying to gain favor with fans and people, but there was an ease with which Peyton even looked at him, and when Peyton wasn't getting emotional, there was a tone to him that seemed like he was perfectly understanding of this, and how they talked for so long and good friends. And then they jump on the plane and come back together, for crying out loud. I mean, I just felt like maybe even a month out or maybe longer that there was no doubt in my mind that Jimmy knew what he wanted to do, and it was just a matter of taking every last minute, you know. And you can theorize on why he took as much time. A season ticket holder refund or season ticket holder invoices due March 2nd. B, to give Peyton every last chance to get healthy. C, to try and convince Peyton to retire. I don't know. There might be other ones, but you know, everybody's asked me that for a while, and I have no clue why he decided to drag this out, but he did. So,
well, we're joined by Phil B. Wilson of the Indianapolis Star, IndyStar.com, who is a beat writer for the Indianapolis Colts and has been around the Indianapolis Colts for a long time. So we'll just kind of start a roundtable discussion. Josh, what do you got for Phil Wilson?
Well, I hear your point that Mr. Irsay made up his mind a long time ago. Here's something I'd like to bring up. We all know Peyton Manning to be a great guy on the field. I happen to work at Peyton Manning's Children's Hospital, so my paycheck has his name on it, so I'm very grateful for that. I feel over the last few months, it's Manning's mouth that kind of made Irsay come to this decision. He kept mouthing off to the media. Granted, Irsay did the same thing, but it's his football team at the end of the day. In that video, do you think Irsay wanted to do it, or do you think he got fed up and said enough is enough?
Well, that's a good question, because I tap dance and toe a line on how much I want to say and how much I can say about other things regarding Peyton. I will tell you that you would be fair to am I saying this to be clever? It would be fair to say that with Peyton there came some it's not easy to put up with a star, all right? It's not as easy as everybody thinks. And Peyton did have his calculating ways about him. Yes, Irsay and him went back and forth. But somebody asked me at the restaurant I was just at when I stopped and got a bite, and they said, you know, how much of it was this, how much of that? And I said, well, half of it was the risk with the neck. And the other half of it, I sincerely think, Jimmy wanted to just move on, and he was tired of having to cater to, you know, Bill Polian for one and then Peyton Manning for another. And I think there's something to that. As much as fans don't want to hear that, or they're Irsay haters right now, and they're saying, well, screw him. I mean, you know, he's a talent. You put up with whatever you get. Well, yes and no. You know, you give a guy like Peyton a lot of control, and he has a lot of authority to do what he wants. And that's good to a point, unless it goes and runs amok. And then the next thing you know, you got certain guys getting shown the door, and everybody's on eggshells because Peyton's the boss and nobody else matters. And there was something to that. I've heard that from a number of people who work there and that don't work there now. So I think to a certain degree, Jimmy thought it was time to make a clean sweep and to start fresh across the board. And that, you know, that's his decision. You know, if Peyton can play great again, people will they'll hope that Jimmy burns in hell for this. But that definitely, I think, you're bringing up something that definitely played a factor in, I think.
Brian, do you have anything for Phil?
Hopefully it's easier than that last one. Jiminy Christmas.
Well, I don't know about that, because I've been thinking about this, too. So, with the exception of having the number one pick, okay, if we would have won maybe like a couple more games or something, do you think that we would still, like, even if we say had like the third or fourth or maybe even fifth pick, do you think that everything that has played out up to this point with everybody being let go and people, you know, not wanting to come back, and, you know, do you think that this might be a different outcome with Peyton Manning, or do you think that it's because that we have that number one pick right there, and we could possibly, not say that we will, but we could possibly, you know, be looking at the next quarterback of the future for 10 to 15 years. Do you think if we were to have, you know, a higher pick, that everything would have been changed, or, you know, a little bit different, you know, or do you think that it might have been like just the time to move on anyways?
Well, you're bringing up something that some people have asked me several times, and I even got asked that in the chat this morning that I did with fans before the press conference. And I think it's fair to say that if the Colts had won four or five games, were picking fifth or sixth, they would probably, it would probably be in their interest, their best interest, to try and see Peyton through and take the good with the bad. It would cost them too much to move up in the draft to get Luck. And you couldn't, you know, you couldn't rebuild and do some of their moves either, I don't think. You'd still want to maintain status quo, I think, as far as not just Peyton, but other players. So it's been described as a perfect storm. And I believe that as Peyton said today, circumstances made both men do something and agree to something that they really didn't want to. But it was in the best interest for Peyton to try and go somewhere else to a winner and have a chance to win another ring, because this team is in massive rebuild mode. It was in the best interest of the Colts to let him go and start fresh with Andrew Luck and build for the future, knowing it might take two or three years, as Jimmy suggested today, two or three years to be competitive. So it's an excellent question, and none of us will know, I guess, the true answer to that. But I think it's safe to say if the Colts didn't finish with the worst record or tie with St. Louis for the worst record this year, Peyton Manning might still be here.
Now, go ahead,
one
Brian.
More question. Do you believe that this was the right decision? I mean, you know,
yes.
Overall.
Yes, I do, because I knew the handwriting was on the wall when they started getting rid of personnel. And then, you know, looking at the way the salary cap structure was set up with certain players that they had to either re-sign or just not, or not tender offers to, I guess you might say. Saturday he'll probably retire. Reggie and Garcon were up. Ryan Deem is probably going to retire. Philip Wheeler's off the books. You know, Peyton, for $10 million counting against your cap, you say goodbye to him. And it's the most cost-effective means to get that contract that he signed a year ago off your books. If you commit to him in any other way, shape, or form, it's minimum $28 million. Plus base this next year, 38 million. So, I mean, you do the math over a period of time. I shouldn't say 31 year, but you get my drift. I mean, you're making a commitment to a guy who's turning 36 in March for 4 years, and you really can't afford to get out of it before the 4 years are up. It's going to cost you even more. So, aside from all that, I mean, financially, if you threw all the money out the window, four surgeries, 21 months, and you know, concerns about bone spurs in that spine, concerns about possible spinal stenosis, concerns about how many problems that spine and neck might develop in the future. And, you know, we still don't know for a fact if that nerve will regenerate all the way in his triceps and allow him to zing the ball. If Peyton were 100% right now, you could damn well bet he would have told us all. And Tom Condon would have told us, and Chris Mortensen sure would have told us. The fact of the matter is, he's not yet. And it's still been a while since the surgery, since September. So we don't know how Peyton's going to be. And we don't know whether he'll ever make it back. Jimmy didn't have any choice. I mean, it was like a gun to the head. Give it to me or else. And you know, if you give it to him, you don't know what you got. So as tough as it is, and I know fans hate it and they're agonizing over it, and I'm sympathetic to all of them, I really am. I came to the conclusion maybe a little over a month ago or 5-6 weeks ago. I just wrote a blog and said, you know what, there are too many reasons here to let him go, and only one sentimental, you know, to keep him.
Well, we're talking with Phil Wilson of IndyStar.com, obviously a beat writer for the Indianapolis Star, and so glad that you could take some time to join us today. Real quickly, and, you know, I was talking with my buddy Ed Kratz, who's going to be on the show here in just a little bit from now, about Peyton Manning, and he seems to think that Miami's a good spot for him, as he's been spotted down there. Now, as I've said on this show, and as my listeners and as my blog know, that I might be leading a single crusader for the Kansas City Chiefs, but in my opinion, the Chiefs are the best spot for Peyton Manning. Let me ask you, you're somebody that's a lot closer to the organization than I am. What is the best spot for Peyton Manning at this point?
Well, you bring up a team that I should have mentioned probably when I was asked that question today. I the Chiefs are definitely a team that's interesting to me, and certainly play good defense. They got a great fan base. If you can get maybe somebody other than Dwayne Bowe, I like Dwayne Bowe, but you can get him another receiver so that, because Peyton won't want to go somewhere unless he's got somebody to throw to. But Miami's a sexy thing. He's been throwing down in Miami, so, you know, he left the press conference today, jumped on a plane, went to Miami. But that's where he's been working out. I was told by a national writer today the Dolphins are going to throw, the owner of the Dolphins is going to throw a bag of cash, a huge bag of cash at him, which, you know, that means Daniel Snyder or Washington probably do the same thing. I don't see Peyton going to Washington because he doesn't want to play Eli twice a year in the same division. I don't rule out some of the Jets, even though Mark Sanchez is, you know, you never quite know where he's at, but, you know, Arizona is also the team I'd throw in there. Peyton had dinner with Larry Fitzgerald in the Super Bowl. I'm sure they didn't talk about, you know, how nice the city looked. you know, Larry's a great receiver, so Peyton knows he'd have one of the best. And then one I heard today that gets thrown around a lot because it'd be a sexy flavor here is Houston. Matt Schaub has a year left in his contract, and you know, I don't think they get rid of Matt, but he's coming off a season-ending knee injury. And maybe, you know, the Texans will think, gee, we can get Peyton for 1 year with our defense and with Andre Johnson and all the receivers and Arian Foster. Boy, I tell you what, that's tempting. So I've already heard John McClain, the Houston Chronicle, say, no way, Jose, not going to happen. So I believe John, he's pretty good. But I you know, driving to work today, I heard Houston mention. So those are the teams in a short list. And throw in Denver, too, probably, because Tim Tebow's still got to figure out throwing the ball.
All right, Phil, we do have a caller. Oklahoma City, correct? Are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. Thanks, caller, for giving us a call from all the way out there in Oklahoma City. Phil, our show is a national show. We're nationwide
cool.
Here. So we're loving to have you on right now. We're talking with Philip B. Wilson. But caller, go ahead. What's your name from Oklahoma City? And do you have a question for Phil or a memory about Peyton Manning?
Oh, man. My name's Craig Mitchell. What I got to say is, you know, I came back Super Bowl year. I mean, what a time to come back. I'm actually born – I was born in Indiana and you know, kind of came out here as I got a little older. And, you know, every time I get to go back home, it's just amazing. So I got to come back the year of the Super Bowl, and I got to meet him and his dad in the downtown Marriott. And if anyone knows the Colts, that's where they stay. So, you know, it's just a – and an awe moment, you know, getting to meet Archie and then seeing Peyton and just an outstanding guy, you know. It's just not just, you know, it's just all around nice guy, and Archie too. But that's definitely going to be something that I'm going to hold, hold definitely near and dear. But so it's not like I get to make it back here to a lot of games, but I'm always watching the Colts, always watching them, man. So, you know, I wanted to call in, you know, and let you guys, you know, share that with everyone out there and for all, you know, fair weather fans. That, you know, the guy went out like he did. None of us wanted to see that, but all you guys, you know, pretty much, we don't need you. You know, we don't need anything like that. You know, it was all done out of respect today, and I think it was, you know, it was handled pretty good. And Peyton,
right.
You know, I wish the guy well.
Well, we appreciate your call, and thank you very much, and keep giving us a listen.
All right. Thanks, Ben.
Thanks. And Phil, I think, and before we let you go, I think that does echo a lot of what a lot of fans think about Peyton Manning. He was a fan's quarterback. You know, you talk about a lot of other quarterbacks out there that really aren't fan friendly, and you know, we all know who those quarterbacks are. But Peyton Manning truly was a fan's quarterback. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. If I said that they were going to go, the Colts were going to go after Philip Rivers, you'd have people having heart attacks all over town right now, because I think about how much Philip Rivers has been public enemy number one for flipping off fans at the old RCA Dome a few years ago. So, yeah, I thought it was really interesting that Peyton's best line today might have been, you know, when he said, I just have a few other words as I leave, and that's for the fans. You know, it was truly an honor to be your quarterback, and or as words to that effect, and that was well said, well spoken, well uttered. That was a poignant moment of many, that he would take the time to, as I wrote in my blog, speak from the heart, especially for those who are heartbroken.
All right, Philip B. Wilson. Philip, where can we find your work and your masterpieces? And we're so glad that you took time out of a very busy day to talk with us today.
Thank you. Bounce it off Phil B. is my blog at indystar.com. I'm on Twitter at pwilson24, pwilson24. And cheers to all of you. Thank you.
Thank you, buddy. Philip B. Wilson, beat writer for the Indianapolis Star, for the Indianapolis Colts. Guys, we'll be right back. We've got to take a break on this very special episode of The Balance, talking about the memories of Peyton Manning. What are your thoughts? Give us a call, 917-889-8516. When we get back, Evan Williams will be joining us for a portion of the show to talk about Peyton Manning, and we'll probably throw in a little college hoops as well.
I'm sexy and I know it.
Here we go again.
The best hits. Best hits.
I demand more.
And the biggest variety.
Biggest variety.
I want it, I need it, and I'm gonna have it.
There's no other station like it on the planet. WROM, realmsofmusic.com, playing tomorrow's hot.
Owning a pet can be so rewarding, but challenging at times. Do you have to work and can't make it to the vet? Are you away from home for long periods at a time? Is there a new pet at home that needs attention? Are you out of pet food and can't get to the store? Does your yard need cleared of pet waste? Do you have a unique pet that needs special care? Are you going away and you don't want to send your pet to the unfamiliar surroundings of a kennel? If so, Terry's Indy Pet Service can help in all these situations. In addition, full-service grooming will be offered later this year. When you hire Tips, you can leave home and know that your pet is exercised, fed, watered, and given medication, all in the comfort of their own environment. There is no longer a need for your healthy animal to stay in an uncomfortable kennel. Tips can solve the challenges of pet ownership. If you want the most personalized care for your pet, then hire Terry's Indy Pet Service. Visit her on the web at hiretips.com. That's HIRETips.com. Or call her at 317-410-3377. Tips, your pets can play while you're away.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located in 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Welcome, sports fans. Host Tom Marquis and the Balance team are ready to break down the past week in sports. We bring you that perfect balance of news, commentary, scores, stats, and much more. So sit back and get ready. It's time for the Balance.
It's a difficult day here of shared pain between Peyton, myself, the fans, everyone. I think, in that vein as well, the 18 jersey will never be worn again by a Colt on the field.
And welcome back to The Balance. Obviously, that was what Jim Irsay, one of the things Jim Irsay had to say about Peyton Manning. And obviously, an end of an era. Joining us now is Evan Williams of Bleeding Gold and Black. And in our normal Saturday afternoon, Saturday morning college hoops contributor, but thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule tonight, Evan, to talk a little Peyton Manning. We will get to a little college hoops perhaps here in just a little bit as well. Well, and Evan, I know you share another team fan of mine of the St. Louis Cardinals. So this year we've lost Peyton Manning and Albert Pujols all in the same year. The only thing worse is that Obama will get reelected in November. So. Well, Evan, I'm glad that you could join us. I know this is a little bit out of your element, and those of you who have never met Evan Williams, Evan Williams is a writer for Bleeding Gold and Black, a Purdue student up at Purdue University, usually talks college hoops for us, and a Purdue contributor for IndyProSports.com, guys. And also, we've got a forum up there where you can go to IndyProSports.com and leave your comments about Peyton Manning as well. Okay, Evan, well, your thoughts on Peyton Manning, your memories of Peyton Manning, obviously, with your age, he's probably about the only quarterback you've really ever known for the Colts. So you pretty much grew up with Peyton Manning. So what are your thoughts?
Well, Tom, like you said, we share love for the St. Louis Cardinals, and I wouldn't really consider myself a Colts fan. I'm more of a Bears fan from where I'm from and growing up. But I've still always had a lot of respect for Peyton Manning. I've always kind of rooted for the Colts on the side. And I just have to say I know what all of the Colts fans are going through with how Albert Pujols left the St. Louis Cardinals. You know, he was the face of the organization, similar to Peyton Manning as the face of the Colts. So it's really tough to see. I mean, like you said, Peyton Manning is the only quarterback I've known for the Colts. And it's just going to be different when Andy takes the field next year and number 18 isn't behind the center. It's a weird feeling. I mean, Peyton's had such an impact, not only in Indianapolis, but throughout the entire NFL. I mean, he's definitely one of the best quarterbacks of all time. You can't argue that. And I think Colts fans just need to remember, I think, all the good times that Peyton has brought to Indy. You know, the Colts have been very, very successful. I mean, take out last season, Colts have been one of the top teams in the NFL consistently, you know, since he came to the league. And, I mean, he brought Indy a Super Bowl title. He's won 4 MVP awards. I mean, he's just a tremendous athlete, tremendous football player, and he's just a good guy. And it's disappointing to see him leave Indy like this.
Brian Williams, he's not joining us, I can assure you that. Brian Jensen, a super Colts fan, is joining us as well. And now Brian, you're the guy that's been around the balance here for usually during the football season and been around the Colts for a long time. And you and I have been to a game together. And, you know, I can tell you one thing about Brian. Brian is the ultimate super Colts fan, along with his whole posse of super Colts fans out there. And now I want to mention something here to our listeners and to Evan as well. And Brian, you were talking to me about this earlier today via the text, that you had heard some things that you were pretty unhappy about. Obviously, you posted it on your Facebook as well, which you can find Brian on Facebook, super Colts fan Brian Jensen. And he's on there talking Colts 24/7 for the most part. So Brian, go ahead and vent a little bit, and we'll get the opinions of myself and Evan after the fact. And callers, we certainly want to get your thoughts. 917-889-8516. Go ahead, Brian.
Well, I heard today that pretty much this morning I got text messages from somebody said that they heard that there was Colts fans down by the stadium burning their Colts gear. And I don't know if it's true or not, but if it is, oh, you guys are pathetic. You guys are just fair weather fans anyways. You know, you're never Colts fans. You're a fan of Peyton Manning, which that's all right. That's all right. You're a fan of Peyton Manning. But, you know, you don't go out there and support the team and everything and go out and buy the stuff, buy the shirt, buy the hat, buy the gloves, buy the towels, buy the blankets, you know, go to the games and root for the Colts. And then, you know, then all of a sudden just because Jim Irsay made a business decision, you know, now all of a sudden, oh, you hate the Colts. You know, that's a fair weather fan. That's all you guys are all fair weather fans. And personally, you guys make me sick, and I don't want you at the game anyways. And, you know, you fans, you know, just don't need to be around, don't need to be going to any games, you know. Go root for, you know, the next team that wins the Super Bowl. Hell, go root for the Giants, go root for the Packers, you know, because that's, you know, you want to jump on the bandwagon, that's what you're going to end up doing anyways, and that's just pathetic. You know, you stick with your team, You know, you don't go jumping team to team just because, you know, a guy's leaving or whatever. I mean, I'll always be a Colts fan for the rest of my life. But, you know, wherever Peyton goes, I will support him and I'll support that team. But, you know, there's a difference between going out and buying your favorite guy's jersey and then going and supporting that team. I mean, me personally, okay, I know I'm going to get a lot of Indianapolis fans, you know, upset about this, but I like Tom Brady, okay? Yes, I said it. I like Tom Brady. I would go buy his jersey, yes, but would I wear it? No, because of who I am, okay? So, but that doesn't mean that I'm going to go out and buy a bunch of Patriots stuff because I hate the Patriots. I just like Tom Brady. I mean, I just like the guy, you know? And, you know, but I'm not going to go support that team and root for that team all the time, you know? And then when, you know, it's just ridiculous, you know? I mean, we have so many of our other fans around here that are Bears fans and Packers fans, and they don't even know anything about the team, and it's ridiculous. I mean, you know, I always like to test people when they come and say, hey, I'm a diehard Bears fan. Oh, hey, I'm a diehard Packers fan. All right, you know what? I want you to name a dozen players on that team, current roster, in the next 30 seconds, and most of them can't even name five. You know, that's not, you know... And, you know, there's just self-proclaimed fans, and, you know, it just makes me sick. And to hear these people out here burning their stuff, I mean, that's pathetic. That's just pathetic, and we don't need them. Colts don't need them. Anybody in Indianapolis, the whole city doesn't need them. It's pathetic. It's just absolutely pathetic. And, you know, they're lucky that I live 5 hours away, because if I lived any closer, I would come down there wearing all my Colts gear, and excuse my language, but I would ream their asses. They would not be around.
All right, Brian, I hate to pull you off your soapbox there. Boy, I'm going to rue the day I asked Brian what he thought, huh? But you know what? It does make a very good point for discussion, guys. We certainly want to hear your thoughts, 917-889-8516. And, you know, we saw the same thing in the NBA when LeBron James decided that he was going to shift teams. We saw a lot of the burning of the jerseys. I don't get that. To me, I agree with you, Brian. That's not a...
That was more LeBron, though. That was a totally different situation. They were mad at LeBron. They're mad at Irsay, who made this team. You know, I mean, look at who they took second in that draft, Ryan Leaf. Would you rather have had Ryan Leaf? No, Irsay made this team. You know, he helped with the success, him and the Napoleons. They helped with the success of this team. Now they're going to all of a sudden go hate on him? If it wasn't for Napoleon and Irsay, we would have been in the playoffs for the last how many years? But it would have been successful. We would have had all these players, you know, Robert Mathis, Dallas Clark, you know, Reggie Wayne, Harrison. We would have had any of them.
Okay, well, Brian, we got to – Brian, I don't make
you
me
go
right there, buddy.
You're
going to get sad sack, buddy. No, also, Evan, you know, obviously Brian is pretty passionate about, you know, how fans are reacting here in Indianapolis toward – a business decision, guys. At the end of the day, that's all it was as well. Hi, is this Ed?
Yeah, hey. Hi, how you
hey,
doing?
Ed. Good. Joining us also is Mr. Ed Kratz of Calkins Media, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles. Good friend of the Balance. I'm so glad that you could join us. We're having our round table discussion with Super Colts fan Brian Jensen and Evan Williams from up at Purdue, who normally joins us for college hoops, but stepping in here and filling the role here to help us talk about Peyton Manning and the memories of Peyton Manning. You know, we talk about him as if he's passed away. He is very much alive, and as we know, Ed, you and I talked about the day that he's down in Miami as well. So I'm so glad that you could join us. Now, Evan, real quickly, before we go back into the conversation here with Ed, do you have any thoughts for the fans, and to bring Ed up to speed and our listeners up to speed who might just be listening? You know, really, it came to our attention that there were some disgruntled fans down at Lucas Oil Stadium. Mind you, that was just the home of the Super Bowl just a few short weeks ago. Down there protesting their displeasure toward Jim Irsay and the Colts by burning their jerseys of Peyton Manning. So, really unsportsmanlike conduct, guys. I don't have much tolerance for that, but it is what it is. So, Evan, what are your thoughts?
I agree with a lot of what Brian said. You know, I've seen a lot on Facebook and Twitter from, you know, people my age and how they're saying, oh, I can't be a Colts fan now because Peyton's gone. Well, I have to ask, if you're not a Colts fan anymore, how good of a fan were you in the first place?
Exactly.
You know, not to deviate from Peyton Manning, but it was the same thing with, for me at least, with Albert Pujols and the Cardinals. Just because Pujols was gone, I'm not going to not be a Cardinals fan now. I root for the team on the front of the jersey, not the player on the back. You know, the players are just there. I'm a Cardinals fan till I die. And I think, you know, if you're saying that you're not going to be a Colts fan now because Manning's gone, I really don't think you were a good fan in the first place. And like Brian said, you know, teams don't need you if you're just going to be a fair-weather fan.
All right, Ed, you're a beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm sure you've seen a few disgruntled fans in your day. So, that's something pretty new here in Indianapolis. We're pretty much a lot more calmer. We're a lot more gentlemanly. We've got some upbringing, as they would say. Ed, what are your thoughts on fans reacting like that toward the decision to part ways with Peyton Manning?
Yeah, well, I think in every NFL city you have pockets of fans who behave irrationally over situations like this. I remember when the Philadelphia Eagles did not re-sign Brian Dawkins, a very popular safety here in Philadelphia for a number of years, and the Eagles refused to sign him, and he went to the Denver Broncos and had a few more good years, and there's some talk that his career now may be over because of a neck injury. But, you know, at that time, there was the same, you know, handful of fans who spoke out against, you know, Eagles management for letting Dawkins go. Unfortunately, you know, sometimes fans forget that this is a business and it's a multi-billion dollar business, the NFL is. And, you know, this was strictly a business decision. What struck me about the press conference with Manning and Irsay was that they were together. They shared the same stage. I mean, you don't often see that when a big name player in any sport leaves a city. And, you know, I thought that spoke volumes. I think those two men are friends. They respect one another. But this was a business decision. Had Peyton Manning not injured his neck, he would still be quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts next season. It was just the injury that sidetracked him, and really you can't pay him $28 million for a season that he may or may not have after paying him $20 million this past season and he didn't play a single down.
Now, question, that certainly does bring the thoughts in, and we certainly want to get our roundtable discussion on this. This is a special episode of The Balance. You guys can give us a call, 917-889-8516. We just got a call just a little while ago from a listener out in Oklahoma City who's listening to us tonight and says, you know, hey, I love the Colts, and I was able to come to the city of Indianapolis and see the place that Peyton built. And Peyton did build this, but at the end of the day, guys, it was just a business decision and nothing more, nothing less. I don't think there was anything personal about it. Obviously, they were on the same stage. You never see that, and that's a very good point, Ed. That is an extremely good point, and I don't know how much of that was done for the fans or how much of it was done for the media or all the above. But we start talking about this bounty gate that's going on right now, guys, and I want to get your thoughts on this. Now they're saying, and obviously this is something that the media just likes to frenzy themselves on, and it's been around the NFL for a long time. I'm sure it goes on there in Philadelphia, even though maybe they weren't some of the teams that were directly mentioned. But when you talk about Bounty Gate and you look at the situations that Peyton Manning finds himself in, Do you think that one is connected to the other, or are we just searching for something to make us feel better, Ed?
Well, I think you're probably aware of Tony Dungy's comments that Peyton Manning took a hard hit when they played the Saints, and that may have caused his neck injury. Boy, you really hate to think along those lines, and I just think what the Saints, the program they had in place, It was deplorable. I think to go out there and purposely injure somebody is just a complete lack of respect as a professional athlete for another fellow professional athlete. Unfortunately, to say that it takes place on other teams and maybe it does not make it right. I think the Saints were caught doing it, and they will be held up as an extreme example, it will be held up as an example in an extreme situation that will, I think, lead to suspensions, fines, loss of draft picks, just so this is eliminated from the game. To say every team does it doesn't make it right. To say that football's a violent game doesn't make it right. To go out and purposely injure somebody, it's just it's criminal. It really is. And you're seeing more of it. You see it in ice hockey a lot. You see it in the NHL. If you look at the NHL, the way the game was played 20 years ago, going into the boards, you could actually go into the boards and not fear for getting your head smashed into the glass. I mean, nowadays it looks like other players are out to purposely hurt other players and get them out of the game. And if that happened to Peyton when they played the Saints, then shame on them. Just you know, a horrible thing if that were the case. But I don't know if there's any way to ever prove that that was the case. And I have yet to see any sort of deliberate shot on any video that they've shown on ESPN or any other affiliate of that happening. But if the NFL says it happened, then it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And the Saints should be held accountable for sure.
Absolutely. And I think it does happen more than what we might know or believe. Now, Evan Williams is also joining us, a blogger and writer for Bleeding Gold and Black of Purdue University. And now, Evan, I know that you're a little bit out of your element, and normally you join us for college football. But, I mean, college basketball, or college football for that matter, but college talk for the most part. But what are your thoughts, Evan, on Bounty Gate? And do you think that goes on in the college level there at Purdue University, for example?
I think it's pretty terrible what went on with the Saints. I mean, that's just it's a complete lack of respect, like Ed said, for fellow professional athletes. If you're going out there with the intent to injure someone, you know, football's a rough game as it is. We don't need people out there, you know, going for cheap shots, going to hurt people. And it's terrible, and it's disappointing that the coaching staff and, you know, the upper management of the Saints didn't put a stop to this when they heard about it. As far as college goes, I really don't think it's around. You know, players, there might be certain players who have, you know, what am I looking for? You know, they want to go out there and kind of hurt the other team, you know, in a rivalry game or something. But I don't think it would go on as far as, you know, how the Saints with, you know, the bounty hunting per se, but with the Saints, it's disappointing to hear, especially on a team like the Saints where, you know, recently won the Super Bowl and were looked so highly upon, you know. It's just a bad thing, and there's no place for that in the NFL.
Now, Brian, I'm going to unmute your mic here, so I'm just kidding. Brian Jensen, Super Colts fan, so glad that you could join us. And Brian is joins us always during the NFL season to talk Colts, and normally right before a Colts home game. We really bring Brian out here and get him fired up. And Brian is the ultimate Colts fan with his whole posse out there that gets all geared up and get out there. Now, let me ask you this. Have you talked to other members of your posse, and what are they saying, and what are the fans saying? Obviously, I've seen your Facebook, and it is you're gonna shut down the server of Facebook there, Brian, but
it's blowing up.
So obviously the fans are very, very, very passionate about Peyton Manning and him leaving and making a decision to part ways with Jim Irsay and the Indianapolis Colts. Now, are the fans realize that this is something that had to happen and needed to happen? And I think Ed will vouch for this too, and anybody else that has talked to me recently. I was on that, hey, we're going to stay with Peyton Manning until Jim Irsay says that Peyton Manning is not going to be a Colt. So I really believed that they were going to keep him. And so, you know, it was disappointing for me as well. So I can imagine, you know, from a fan's perspective, especially you and your whole crew out there, our season ticket holders, you spend a lot of money to come out there, and let's face it, most of you and a lot of you spend money to see Peyton Manning.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people that, I mean, I've been talking to here on Facebook. That's my main source of communication with, you know, fans in Indy anymore. I mean, I work a lot and working like 80, 90 hours a week, and you know, everyone on there is pretty much, it seems like they've come to an understanding that, you know, it's a business decision. I mean, I've always said that, you know, as a business owner, you got to look at the longevity of things and, you know, what's going to help you down the road as compared to what's going to just help you now. Because you got, you know, to succeed down the road, you got to look farther down the road. You can't just see what's just right in front of you. You know, you got to be able to look down and know that, hey, this is going to be the best decision for, you know, for the Colts in general, you know, for the team, for the organization. And I just think that a lot of people realize that and they understand that. And, you know, it's just a lot of people, you know, some people are mad at Ursay and stuff, but I mean, I think it's just pretty much, it's an understanding. It's not like we didn't know that this was probably going to happen. Most of us knew, some of us were in denial, Tom. But, you know, a lot of us knew. And, you know, when you have someone that's, you know, that's out there, you know, I'm talking about Andrew Luck now. I mean, that's like probably, you know, the most guaranteed thing since Peyton Manning. And, you know, he might be the next Peyton Manning. I mean, he's not going to be a flop. He's going to be far from a flop. If anything, I think that, you know, I think that he might be over average. I think that's the worst possible scenario. And when you have something like that that's guaranteed, it's like, you know, let's look at the next 10 to 15 years. If we think that we can win with the next 10 to 15 years with this guy, you know what? Take him. Peyton wants to still play. Let him go play somewhere else because they can't coexist in the same team. You don't waste that number one pick to let him ride the bench.
Okay, going round table here and back to you, Ed. You and I have talked about some of the places that Peyton Manning could end up at. And your favorite spot is South Beach down there with the Miami Dolphins. And they've been searching for a quarterback since Dan Marino left. And obviously it's no secret that Peyton Manning's been chasing Dan Marino for a long time. So we'll start with you. Where do you maybe I did let the cat out of the bag a little bit, but you think Miami, and why? And maybe what are some of the dark horses, if it's not Miami, where you think he might end up at?
Well, I do think it's Miami, and I think it's Miami for several reasons. First of all, like you said, Dan Marino, he could chase Dan Marino right there in Miami. He could play against Tom Brady, one of his nemesis through the years, twice a year. The temperature down there is warm. You know, having played half his games in an indoor stadium in Indianapolis, he's used to, a more of a climate control type of situation. And then I read today some of Reggie Wayne's comments, an unrestricted free agent who the Colts will probably lose come Tuesday. And Reggie Wayne was talking about going to play for the Miami Dolphins and teaming with Brandon Marshall to give Peyton Manning weapons. And I think, you know, Reggie Wayne could be a kind of a bridge for Peyton if Reggie signs in Miami, which I think there's a strong sentiment that that's going to happen, then Peyton could certainly follow and re-team with him. So those are some of the big reasons that I think. And I think, Tom, you mentioned to me earlier today that the Dolphins also have an excellent offensive line, which is true, and they have a very good defense. So I think the Dolphins aren't too far away from putting together a championship team. I think wherever Peyton goes, that team's going to win 10 games. I really believe that. I think he's that much of a difference maker. Some of the dark horses, I don't see him going to Washington. I don't think he'll play in the NFC East and have to compete with his brother for a division title and a potential playoff bid each year. I heard today now that the Denver Broncos are going to make a strong push for him, which is a team that I don't think we've heard too much about. But I think John Elway wants to kind of curb the Tebow mania a little bit. And what better way to do that than bringing in a surefire Hall of Famer when his career is over in Peyton Manning. So the Broncos are making a strong push. I think the Seattle Seahawks, I hear, are in pretty deep at this point. But, you know, it could be all wrapped up by Tuesday when free agency hits. But I think Peyton's going to have to prove to teams that he's healthy. And I think he's going to have to throw for them to show that. And that's something that maybe we're forgetting here, too. Is he 100%? No, he is not. I think he alluded to that at the press conference that he feels better, but he's not where he needs to be. But yeah, I think the Dolphins, in my opinion, are the front runners. Dark horse, Denver, Seattle. I do not see Washington as being a candidate. I've even heard of talk of the Houston Texans possibly getting in there, but I don't see that happening. And certainly not the Philadelphia Eagles. Andy Reid came out today and said that they're perfectly happy with Michael Vick. So I hope he's healthy enough to play. I hope he goes on to have another, you know, good 4 years, 3, 4, 5 years, whatever he has left in his tank. I feel for the city of Indianapolis. He really put that franchise on the map. He won 115 games through the O's, the decade of the O's, if you will. And it's tough. It's a tough situation when someone like that leaves. I mean, he was a transcendent figure. And I feel for the people of Indianapolis and all Colts fans everywhere.
Guys, we gotta take a quick break. What I am going to do, though, is because I've been getting 100 tweets about it asking me to replay the clip from the press conference today. I put a little clip together for today's show, so we'll play that. We'll take a break. When we get back, we've got a few more minutes of talk about Peyton Manning. I do want to point out that we are taping this show to be replayed again on Saturday, our normal show. So if you're listening to us on Saturday, you know that normally we're on 9 to 11. We won't be taking any calls, but certainly go to our brand-new website, IndyProSports.com, and, of course, TheBalanceOnline.com. But IndyProSports.com, guys, that's where it is at. That is where it is happening, and that is where the voice of the fans have. And we're also going to be back with Pete LaFuchsia, RadioSpeedTalk.com, talk a little bit about NASCAR, some racing, and, of course, we're going to continue our memories of Peyton Manning right after this.
It's a difficult day here of shared pain. Between Peyton, myself, the fans, everyone. I think in that vein as well, the 18 jersey will never be worn again by a Colt on the field. And this process has been a long, difficult process. I know Peyton and I have had numerous conversations over the months, and we always kept trying to come back to the circumstances that were before us, and we tried to put each other in each other's shoes and tried to realize what the situation was for the franchise, what it was for Peyton, and in the end, those circumstances were too difficult to overcome.
For 14 wonderful years, the only professional football I've known has been Colts football. Our team won a lot of games here. I've played with so many great teammates here, and I've been part of a great organization here, an organization and an owner who I respect and continue to respect. I've been a Colt for almost all of my adult life, but I guess in life, and in sports, we all know that nothing lasts forever. Times change, circumstances change, and that's the reality of playing in the NFL. Jim and I have spoken extensively about where we are today, and our conversations have led both of us to recognize that our circumstances make it best for us to take this next step. This has not been easy for Jim, and it certainly has not been easy for me. Jim, along with Bill Polian, drafted me 14 years ago. Jim and I have always been close, and we made a lot of great memories together. He's always been good to me, and Jim, I will be forever grateful. This town and this team mean so much to me. It truly has been an honor to play in Indianapolis. I do love it here. I love the fans, and I will always enjoy having played for such a great team. I will leave the Colts with nothing but good thoughts and gratitude to Jim, the organization, my teammates, the media, and especially the fans.
Colts fans wonder why you didn't retire a Colt. Did you consider that? You're not done. You still feel like you have something to prove?
Well, I don't want to retire. And, no, I don't feel like I have anything to prove. But nobody loves their job more than I do. Nobody loves playing quarterback more than I do. And I still want to play. And there's no other team I've ever wanted to play for. Nobody's had it better, you know, than I have playing for the Indianapolis Colts for these 14 years. And I can't say how thankful and how fortunate I feel to have played here. But I love playing quarterback.
The best hits, best hits, and the biggest variety.
Biggest variety.
I want it, I need it, and I'm gonna have it.
There's no other station like it on the planet. WROM, realmsofmusic.com, playing tomorrow's hottest artist today.
Owning a pet can be so rewarding, but challenging at times. Do you have to work and can't make it to the vet? Are you away from home for long periods at a time? Is there a new pet at home that needs attention? Are you out of pet food and can't get to the store? Does your yard need cleared of pet waste? Do you have a unique pet that needs special care? Are you going away and you don't want to send your pet to the unfamiliar surroundings of a kennel? If so, Terry's Indie Pet Service can help in all these situations. In addition, full-service grooming will be offered later this year. When you hire Tips, you can leave home and know that your pet is exercised, fed, watered, and given medication, all in the comfort of their own environment. There is no longer a need for your healthy animal to stay in an uncomfortable kennel. Tips can solve the challenges of pet ownership. If you want the most personalized care for your pet, then hire Terry's Indie Pet Service. Visit her on the web at HireTips.com. That's HireTips.com. Or call her at 317-410-3377. Tips. Your pets can play while you're away.
All right, and welcome back to a very special episode of The Balance. Remembering Peyton Manning. Well, you know, I kind of hate to say it like that, guys, because he's not dead. Just move it on, and you know what? As a Colts fan, it is a loss, and it is a situation where really the only quarterback that we've really ever known here in modern era. Well, I say modern era, so for the last 14 years, and it was tweeted at the end of the presser today, guys, that you know when Peyton Manning and Jim Irsay left the stage. It said that a tweet was sent out by Phil B. Wilson, who was on the show with us earlier from Indianapolis Star. It said Peyton Manning has left after 14 years. Peyton Manning has left the building, and that really does sum it all up. And joining us for some NASCAR talk, we're going to get into that in just a minute. I promise you. For those of you who are tuning in on Saturday and want to know where your NASCAR is, where your NBA is, and your college hoops, we got a special episode of The Balance that is being taped tonight on Thursday. Obviously, Jim Irsay and Peyton Manning parting ways today, and we're replaying it on Saturday. I actually have to be out of town, and I don't know how I forgot this, guys. I really don't, but I promise it'll never happen again. I got my dates all confused and everything as well. It is my granddaughter's first birthday. And my son is in from California. Obviously, those of you that are familiar with this show know that he's in the Marines. And I was just going on like it was just a very normal Saturday until my lovely wife informed me that Saturday was my granddaughter's birthday party. So we're going to be headed down to Evansville. So that is another reason why you're hearing this show in a tape delay format. So we are going to get to that. When obviously we've got the Big Ten Championship coming up here in Indianapolis this weekend. Obviously, Purdue and IU made a big showing on that. So we will get to that, guys. But really the highlight of the show is Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning, you know, basically said, you know, he will always be a Colt. And it's the only team he ever wanted to play for, but unfortunately circumstances got in the way. Pete LaFuscia from RadioSpeedTalk.com. Pete, it is so good to have you with us today, and also Pete is also part of IndyProSports.com as well, and our NASCAR and racing guru. And Danica sent out a tweet this week that said, Peyton Manning, it's sad to see you go. Indy needs a quarterback, a great city, something along that way. And I know you think that Twitter is evil, so I know you did not see that. But what has been but I know that a lot of the racing community is football fans. A lot of them are Colts fans, as a matter of fact, because a lot of them reside right here in Indianapolis. So around the racing community and your personal thoughts being in the media up there in Fort Wayne, Indiana as well, what are your thoughts about Peyton Manning and the Indianapolis Colts?
Well, on a personal level, I hope that the Buffalo Bills pick him up because God knows we've needed a quarterback for eons ever since Jim Kelly left. Or, well, let me go back. Ever since Doug Flutie and the Flutie Flakes left, yeah, you can see where I want him to go on that one. I mean, they just signed both their receivers, so yes, I know he's at the end of his career, but please, we need one. We need to get back in the playoffs. It's pretty bad when the two worst teams in the NFL, the Buccaneers and the Saints, both could say, hey, at least we have a Super Bowl championship, and we don't. So, I mean, I'd love to see him go up to Buffalo. That's my thoughts on that one. And you could kind of see where I lean on that one. It's sad to see him go because being a lifelong Hoosier resident, man, there's nothing that united this state more than him for the past 14 years. I mean, I went to college in Terre Haute, back when they couldn't give away Colts tickets back in the mid-90s. The only time the Colts ever sold out is when a Super Bowl champion team was coming there to play, or a team, i.e. the Buffalo Bills, would come because they were in the same division. So that was nice. But, I mean, I thought it was pretty bad that living in Terre Haute, we would get blacked out for the Colts games. And it's like, wait, we're not in the Indianapolis market. They were blacking them out for there. So it was nice to see Peyton come and find out that, hey, you know what, they didn't black out TV anymore so you could actually see the Colts when they were at home. He did really well, got us a good stadium, and believe me, I don't care what other people say, he helped build that stadium. Now, is it the career that he should have had as compared to, like, what people are comparing him to, i.e. Brady? I don't know. I mean, the Patriots did really well in the fact that they kept weeding out older players and all that, and I think the Colts kind of hung on to certain players a little too long. But that's my two cents on that one.
Well, we appreciate your two cents, and we always appreciate the commentary from Pete LaFuscia of RadioSpeedTalk.com. We're going to get into some NASCAR talk with Pete here in a minute. So, Pete, thanks for hanging out with us a little bit tonight on a late hour, guys. You know, but Taco Bell's open late, so you know we could be open late too as well.
I was surprised that you even text me. I looked at my phone. I'm like, wait, they're doing it this late at night?
Well. Well, like I was just saying, I think you were on the line when I was saying, how bad of a grandpa does that make me to forget my granddaughter's very first, not only my her very first birthday, but it's the only grandchild that I have, and I love my son, but knock on wood, hopefully it'll be a while before I have. I'm not that old yet, but I mean, how bad of a guy does that make me to forget my granddaughter's first birthday? But I didn't forget it officially.
It doesn't make you that bad because, I mean, there's something that's been going on, and I think I mentioned to you guys on last Saturday's show, watching the Daytona 500 with my daughter, and she goes, yeah, I like racing. Oh, who's your favorite driver? And she spouts out the worst driver that could be on the face of the earth. I still get sick to my stomach and just can't stomach and fathom that she's a Jimmy Johnson fan, yet she comes from my loins. So I just don't quite get that one. And believe me, it made it really hard watching the Phoenix race when she'd pop in the room, where's Jimmy? Where's Jimmy? Yeah, Jimmy won! No, Denny Hamlin won, Sonny. No, Jimmy won.
Exactly. All right, back to you, Mr. Ed, and so glad that you hung out with us. And we're going to interject. We're just going to kind of bounce around here a little bit because we are coming up on the Big Ten Championship. Obviously, you do a lot of covering for Penn State and the Nittany Lions down there. So the thoughts on Penn State, and obviously they're not where they would like to be at this year, but any thoughts as we enter March on Penn State and the Big Ten action going on with them?
Well, Penn State will lose its first game is my prediction. I'm not even sure if they're playing. I feel pretty safe saying that. But I have not seen a whole lot of Penn State basketball this year. I have to tell you, I've been with the Eagles, and now with the Sixers. I've been to many Sixers games, so I've kind of gotten away a little bit from the college. But now that this is Selection Sunday coming up, I've started to kind of tune back in and see who's doing what. And you know, as far as the Big Ten goes, I guess it's Ohio State right at the top, And then Wisconsin, I guess, is in there. You have to like them. But we'll see who wins. I just know Penn State won't win.
Well, you know, also joining us is Mr. Evan Williams. And I know, Evan, you've been patiently waiting there. And I do appreciate you joining us today as well, tonight as well. I know you've got a big exam you've probably got to cram for or something, whatever college students do. And I tell you what, guys, you'll like this. Evan informed us on last Saturday's show that there really isn't such a thing as underage drinking, that he was 21 and not 21 yet and really wasn't legal to drink yet at a fraternity house, and that they really do just sit around and drink Starbucks coffee and talk sports. Who would have thunked it? But Evan Williams, Bleeding Golden Black, and a member of some fraternity up there. Which fraternity are you with, Evan?
I'm in Phi Delta Theta, Tom.
Yeah, and there is no drinking in that frat house, right?
Oh, no.
See, guys, I told you, man, you got to have faith in our young folks and our up-and-coming young folks. But Evan is a blogger for Purdue Bleeding Golden Black and obviously our contributor on IndyProSports.com for Purdue and as well as here on The Balance. So we'll just jump right into it, Evan. Purdue University, Big Ten Tournament, they've got to do well to for their host for the NCAA Tournament in their seeding.
Yeah, Tom. Purdue's got a pretty should be an easy first game. They're matched up against 11th seed in Nebraska, and I really don't think Purdue should have any problem disposing of the Cornhuskers. They played them a couple weeks ago, and they just dominated them up and down the court. So I think not to look ahead, but then match up against Ohio State will be interesting. Purdue only played the Buckeyes once this year. They played them very close at Columbus. You know, it was a very close game. And I think people should watch out for Purdue in this Big Ten tournament. They have a very favorable draw. With the exception of Ohio State, they've beaten everyone in their half of the bracket. So I think if they can get past the Buckeyes, they have a pretty good shot of getting to the championship. So I definitely think you should watch out, and I think Purdue can contend for the Big Ten tournament title this year.
Well, guys, you know where my money's at. IU. And IU, if they're obviously a number five seed in the Big Ten tournament. I don't think they're going to win, but if they do, one could argue that they need a number two seed. We're not going to be able to do, guys, the buy, sell, or trade, so we're just going to quickly wrap this up because we do want to get into some NASCAR talk and some racing talk with Pete because we know we have a lot of diehard racing fans that listen to us. There's just something about beer and racing that just brings out the Balance fans, which is cool. We love it. But we're talking about Peyton Manning now as well. And real quickly, Brian, any final thoughts on Peyton Manning and departing today of the Indianapolis Colts?
Well, everyone's, disliking, what Ursae's, a lot of people are disliking Ursae's decision and everything, and, me personally, I just like to say I love you, Ursae. You know, everything you've done for the Colts, everything you're going to do, continue to do for the Colts. And I guarantee another Super Bowl within the next 5 to 7 years, and that's, just what I really think is going to happen. Manning, we'll always love you, always going to follow you. And when we do win another Super Bowl, you Fairweather fans better not come back around because you're not welcome, And I got to look at the bright side. I'm in 600 section. All the Fairweather fans, they're gone now, so I get to move down. And any of you Fairweather fans that have season tickets in the end zone, call me. I'll buy them, 815-441-0246. And the team that I think that he's going to go to, Washington, he ain't going to go there. Eli Manning, it's his division. He ain't going to go there. Texans, they got shop. Kansas City, I just don't see it. Seattle, there's nobody there to, support him. New York Jets, I think Sanchez is going to be okay. I really think that Miami Dolphins is going to end up with, Manning, especially, if Reggie Wayne goes down there too, they got the weapons, they got the defense, they got the offensive line. But I want to throw a sleeper team in there, and I think it might be Dallas. And I say Dallas because I think that they're a quarterback away from winning a Super Bowl. Romo can only get it to a certain point. They got the 14th pick in the draft this year. They can go and draft an offensive lineman, which they need the offensive line. They got the weapons down there in Bryant and Austin. And, they got a decent, decent backfield, decent defense. If they can trade Romo and get another draft pick and maybe pick up another offensive lineman or center or pick up a center in the free agency, I think that would be a perfect spot for him down there. But I don't know everyone else that's down there. I don't really follow the Cowboys much, but I just think that'd be just totally deadly if he went down there. But I don't really think he's going to end up in Miami.
Cowboys playing the NFC East, though. That's the problem. Well, I mean, the Cowboys are in the NFC East with Eli, so if you're not going to go to Washington because of Eli.
I just really think that that might be a sleeper team that might go after him, but it doesn't mean that he's actually going to do it. But it would be kind of cool if it happened, but I don't see it actually happening. I see Miami.
All right. Brian Jensen, so glad that you could join us tonight and take some time to talk some Colts with us. We will see you again, Brian, on draft day, on our draft day special. So any final thoughts for our listeners before we let you go?
Don't give up on the Colts. True fans always bleed blue. We'll always stay there, good luck to Peyton Manning. I'll be a fan, no matter where he goes. And that's about it.
All right, buddy. Brian Jensen, super Colts fan, always joins us during the NFL season to talk Colts, and he will be back with us on draft day, and Brian and I will be down at the Colts draft party this year, so it'll be a lot of fun. So also, Ed Kratz of Calkins Media, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles, took some time to talk with us today. Ed, thanks for joining us. Any final thoughts on Peyton Manning and the AFC and or anything about Peyton Manning, what you'd like for us to know?
Well, when I think Peyton Manning, I just think class act. I just think he's, he's as top shelf as it gets. And Indianapolis is losing a quality player and a quality person on top of all that. And I just hope he hasn't played his final game. I really hope his rehab continues to progress well. Because I loved watching him play quarterback, the way he orchestrated an offense. And, I hope we haven't seen him play his last game because he is a class act. And I wouldn't be angry at Jim Irsay. I mean, it is a business decision. You're going to have the number one pick. You're going to bring in a quarterback who I think will have the franchise pointed in the right direction within a couple of years. So all is not lost.
Hey, real quickly before we let you go, Ed, Pete wants to know, is it true that Penn State has never made the tourney?
The NCAA basketball tournament?
I think that was his question.
That is false. They have been in the tournament. They used to play in the Atlantic 10 Conference before they joined the Big Ten, and there was a few years there under Bruce Parkhill
as the head coach, they won that Atlantic 10 tournament and qualified for the NCAA tournament. I'm not sure that they've ever been beyond the Sweet 16, but I know they have gone to a Sweet 16.
All righty. All right. Well, Ed Kratz, where can people find your masterpieces and your work at with Calkins Media?
Well, my Twitter is Kratz, K-R-A-C-Z-E, is my Twitter handle. K-R-A-C is in cat, Z is in zebra, E is in Ed. And my the website would be www.phillyburbs.com / Eagles for all my Eagles work.
I apologize. You know, my wife is so cool. I got some ice cream, and I was eating it while you were talking.
I got my ice cream eating out of the way before I called.
There you go. All right, buddy. Well, never be a stranger here on the show. We always enjoy having you.
Thanks for having me, guys. Have a good night.
Thank you. Ed Kratz of Calkins Media, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles. All right, Evan.
Are you there, Tom?
Okay, are you with me, Pete?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
I am so sorry about that. Sometimes radio boards are great. Skype is fantastic. We use Skype all the time, but it just got a brain of its own. Right, all of a sudden, when Ed left us, everybody left us. I don't know what that was about, but hey,
I thought maybe you had brain freeze from the ice cream.
That might have been what it was, but I have no idea. So I don't know if Evan's going to get back connected with us or not, but if not, we'll try to get connected back with him, guys. You're listening to The Balance, a very special episode of The Balance. We're taping this show also for Saturday morning's replay. We'll be right back, and hopefully we'll be ready to go and talk some racing.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Owning a pet can be so rewarding, but challenging at times. Do you have to work and can't make it to the vet? Are you away from home for long periods at a time? Is there a new pet at home that needs attention? Are you out of pet food and can't get to the store? Does your yard need cleared of pet waste? Do you have a unique pet that needs special care? Are you going away and you don't want to send your pet to the unfamiliar surroundings of a kennel? If so, Terry's Indie Pet Service can help in all these situations. In addition, full-service grooming will be offered later this year. When you hire Tips, you can leave home and know that your pet is exercised, fed, watered, and given medication, all in the comfort of their own environment. There is no longer a need for your healthy animal to stay in an uncomfortable kennel. Tips can solve the challenges of pet ownership. If you want the most personalized care for your pet, then hire Terry's Indie Pet Service. Visit her on the web at hiretips.com. tips.com. That's H-I-R-E, tips.com. Or call her at 317-410-3377. Tips. Your pets can play while you're away.
The best hits. Best hits. And the biggest variety.
Biggest variety.
I want it, I need it, and I'm gonna have it.
There's no other station like it on the planet. WROM, realmsofmusic.com. Playing tomorrow's hottest artist today.
It's a difficult day here of shared pain between Peyton, myself, the fans, everyone. I think, in that vein as well, the 18 jersey will never be worn again by a Colt on the field. And this process has been a long, difficult process. I know Peyton and I have had numerous conversations over the month.
All right, and welcome back to The Balance. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. So glad that you could join us nationally from coast to coast as we talk about the memories of Peyton Manning. And we've been doing that for the last 90 minutes or so. But it's time to get in to racing with RadioSpeedTalks.com, Pete LaFuchsia, and a very special guest that is joining us now is my son, Zach, who is home, back home in Indiana, we should say, and also a very, very big Colts fan. So, Zach, are you with us?
Yes, I am. How are y'all doing?
We're doing good. Doing good. Real quickly here, Zach, and you're certainly more than welcome to hang out with us and talk some NASCAR with us. But Peyton Manning, obviously, he's been the Colts quarterback pretty much, well, almost your whole life for the most part. A lot of it, anyway, we should say. So, and we know you're a big Colts fan. So, what are your thoughts about Peyton Manning leaving? Was it a good decision, a bad decision, and what are you thinking?
I hate to see him go. I really do, because we all know that the Colts are made around him, and we saw how tough of a season we had last season when he was injured. You know, he was sitting on the sidelines, and even though he was still coaching from the sidelines, it still wasn't him playing. So I think that as a Colts team, where we have a lot to work on now, and a lot to all the players need to learn how to adapt and work with each other, not just work on Peyton Manning's game. I think it was a good career move for him. I think that he'll get a lot more playing time and be able to see to help out another team in the NFL. But I do hate to see him go. I will still be a hard-charging Colts fan, but I definitely see me watching another team as well, simply due to the fact that Peyton Manning is going to be their quarterback.
A man barely alive. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's first bionic man. Steve Austin will be that man.
Or if you're in Indianapolis, Peyton Manning will be that man. Well, that just was not to be. Joining us also is Mr. Pete LaFuchsia of RadioSpeedTalk.com. So glad that you could take time to join us today and talk about Peyton Manning. Now, see, I did not know that you were a Buffalo Bills fan. And what brought that along?
Well, I grew up in Northwest Indiana, so outside of Chicago. Didn't really start getting into football till about 1984. And obviously, I became a Bears fan. And as it went on, they ended up winning the Super Bowl. And I was really, really into them. But then they started doing the whole quarterback shuffle. They'd get new guys, couldn't do nothing. And when they got rid of Coach Ditka, I lost it. I said, that's it. I will never root for this organization ever again. And then everybody's like, well, then who are you going to root for? And I just so happens I was up in Buffalo with family. I'm like, I guess I'll start following the Bills. They're like, you know the Bills suck, right? I'm like, yeah, but I'll just start following them. And anything's got to be better than getting your heart ripped out by the Bears. And then 2 years later, they start going on this tear, going to the Super Bowl and lose four in a row. So, but I've stayed with them ever since then.
Well, we're joining us is Mr. Pete LaFuscia of RadioSpeedTalk.com. And if you normally listen to us on Saturday morning, don't worry. We are getting right into the NASCAR talk right here because, guys, it is time for the Radio Speed Talk portion of the show where we're going to talk some racing. And my son also is with us as long as he can be as well. So make sure you give us a call if you got some racing questions, 917-889-8516. If you're listening to us on Saturday, well, you can't call in because this show is on what's called a tape delay.
Work hard. That's your life's eraser. See it through. Go Speed Racer. Go Speed Racer. Go Speed Racer. Go.
All right, welcome back to The Balance. I think we may have lost my son, but we'll try to get him back here in just a moment. But Pete LaFuscia of RadioSpeedTalk.com, so glad that you could join us. Let's talk some racing. Fresh off of Phoenix, what are your thoughts?
It was pretty much a boring race. I mean, believe me, it was one of those. We went from the excitement of Daytona to the snooze fest that was Phoenix. I mean, we're that new surface. We had one race on it in the fall. They had a little bit of data, but it was business as usual. It looked like the people that were all in contention from 2010 were all basically back in their form, and that's what it was. So we had a winner in Denny Hamlin. We had Jimmy Johnson showing that he can really handle things. We had great finishes by pretty much everybody that did well two seasons ago. So there was that. And then flash forward to Monday, we have to hear how the ratings are down because there was no Danica in it. It's like, oh, my gosh, she's not even in the race, and they're figuring out a way to put her into the race. So it was one of those. You can't win, you can't lose with it. I mean, they have a great Daytona 500, and then now they got to be reminded, oh, it's only the ratings were only good because Danica was in it.
Well, which goes to show that really, Danica is Danica could one say or equate that Danica is the Peyton Manning of NASCAR?
No, because Peyton Manning won. I mean, I'm sorry. Let's put it this way. I mean, it's ironic that you play the Speed Racer theme to begin my segment because when I was watching the Daytona 500, I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, what, did they think she's Speed Racer? Because only Speed Racer could actually stop in the middle of a race, go fight crime, hop in his car, come back, and still win. Okay? I found out that if a guy – I've been to enough races. I've been to 42 NASCAR races in my life, and basically if a guy drops a lug nut wrong, that guy can lose the race. So her taking 10 laps off, she wasn't going to win.
Now, we talk about NASCAR, it seems to always lead to Danica, and I agree with you. I think that she is a great marketing tool, and she is highly, highly overrated. So let's break down the race over there at Phoenix. We know that Danica wasn't there. So let's talk about Phoenix, and let's talk, and you know, we haven't had a chance to really talk much IndyCar with you as well, but they've got their season up and going in full speed, no pun intended, as well. So let's talk a little bit about Phoenix, and then we'll kind of merge into some IndyCar talk as well. But if you could give us a recap by the numbers, if you will, or lap by lap, highlight reel, the RadioSpeedTalk.com highlight reel of Phoenix, what would it be?
The reel would be we've obviously, starting off, he had in Donna Kinsu. what? I'm sorry. I understand Subway was sponsoring the race, but I just don't get why he would have been the person to pick as the Grand Marshal. So he starts them. Doesn't do a half bad job in that. Starts off decent little race going on right there. But in the middle of the race, we had this is where I'm trying to break down and remember what went on. Because like I mentioned in the last segment when I first came on, that it was a snooze fest. And basically what it boiled down to was the Jimmy Johnson show. He basically led a lot of the laps, but it was until the very end that Denny Hamlin basically showed that he could win it. We did have a fuel mileage issues kind of taking shape there, and the guys are learning that the new EFI is that the new EFI is not work like the old way. And Tony Stewart, prime example, he was trying to save gasoline and shut the car off, not realizing that it didn't fire up the way it was supposed to. We also saw that I think it was Junior, or who was it was coming around? Man, you're going to have to help me on this one. Who came around and lost fuel at the end.
Oh, man.
I'm drawing a blank, and I'm sitting here going through all my press releases. Cold medicine, man. It'll do a number on you, especially late at night.
Oh, I understand. Well, we'll go back to that. You know, one thing also, I don't know if you have heard about this, but according to a press release that I'm just now getting, drivers Reagan Smith and Paul Bonnard.
I got it right in front of me. It's NASCAR driver Reagan Smith and Paul Bonnard, along with Smith's wife, Megan, were on their way home on an icy road in Colorado and just escaped injury. And Wednesday morning, about 8:45, Smith lost control of his Silverado truck after hitting a patch of black ice near his mountain home in Evergreen, outside of Denver. The truck slid off the road and crashed into a collection of trees. Smith and Bonnard will compete in Sunday's Cobalt 400 and have made a recovery. So it'll be interesting to see what the car looks like, or the truck, the Silverado, looks like. And believe me, if you've ever been to Colorado, there's trees everywhere. So I don't know if he fell off a ledge into a bunch of trees or just basically scraped it against some trees.
Now, unfortunately, this was not a planned segment, but it's always good to hear that they're doing well and doing fine. But we merge into talking about Las Vegas Motor Speedway. And obviously, we talk about Las Vegas Motor Speedway, well, one, because it's Vegas. But two, we have in our rearview mirror, we have Dan Weldon. And, you know, I did not purposely have that press release here as a segment into talk about the Las Vegas Motor Speedway. Obviously, NASCAR. I know NASCAR fans don't want to hear this, but they don't go as fast as Indy cars. Not that they're not real race cars, but they just don't go as fast. So do we see a problem? Is there something safety issues that maybe they're looking harder at the NASCAR's looking harder at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway, perhaps maybe this particular race than what they would have last year or another track a few weeks down the road?
No, there's no real safety issues. I mean, if you basically look at a Texas, a Las Vegas, and some of these other tracks, the mile and a half, they're designed to be NASCAR tracks. You got the banking that's right for these cars. The reason the Indy cars go faster is they're lower to the ground. They've got as much or more horsepower. They're a ton lighter than the NASCARs, and they drive different. It's basically, I mean, the best way, I think it was Danica, and I don't mean to mention her, she said driving a stock car is like driving a bus, and an Indy car is like driving I don't remember what she
a jet airplane.
A jet airplane, yeah. In other words, one's smooth, the other's not. I've equated it to one, if you look at a dance, IndyCar's ballet, and NASCAR's crunk dancing. I mean, it's just, it's rough. It's maybe that's what draws people to it. It's like, you seem manlier driving a NASCAR than you do an IndyCar. Not to say that that you don't need to be an athletics or anything to drive an IndyCar. It's just one is a finesse, the other one is muscle. That's the best way to put it. Now, if you come to safety issues, I didn't know this until I ran across something I was listening to this last week. When you go to these Gruden Smith-owned tracks, and that's the ones Lowe's, Dallas, New Hampshire, Las Vegas, places like that, when it comes to the catch fence, they have the post on the inside and the fence goes around the outside. So when Dan Weldon goes up against there, imagine running across a bunch of fences and then you got speed bumps with the posts, whereas you go to an Indianapolis or another track. Pocono was built to be an IndyCar type track. The catch fence is there, the post is on the outside, and you got the fence, which is a smoother surface on the inside, and that's an issue people said that they're going to have to kind of look at. I don't know if this has came out in an investigation or not, but I didn't know that, and I started looking at some of the pictures that RadioSpeedTalk.com's photographer Tom Wolf has taken at some of these places, and yeah, definitely the ones that started out as IndyCar tracks, the catch fence, it's smoother on the inside and vice versa. So that's an issue there. If they're in the car, the NASCAR, and it goes up and it gets into the catch fence, we saw in the truck race in Daytona, somebody got up in the catch fence. They're still doing it even to this day. I mean, it was, 2 years ago? We had the problem with the wing on the back versus the spoiler, which was getting cars airborne if they got upside down or rolled over, which was putting them into the catch fence. And we think back to the bad, bad wreck that Carl Edwards had at Talladega. There's still chances of these vehicles, when we see the wreck in Vegas, look at how many cars got airborne. It wasn't just Weldon's. So that's something you want to think of there. I think if there is a wreck where cars get airborne in Vegas, they're not going to be as much immediate danger as would an Indy car in that case. Back to the other the main part of the question, is there anything that NASCAR is going to do anything different? I don't see anything that they would do anything different there. There has not been any complaints where, okay, yeah, we've got the safer barriers here, here, and here, but we need to add some here, much like they did in Pocono, where there were certain sections of the interior of the track that needed safer barriers, and it wasn't until they had a couple guys that got really injured bad to where they came back and put safer barriers on the interior of the track along with the exterior. So I don't see anything major that Las Vegas is going to be looking out for safety-wise.
Well, and we're talking with Pete LaFuscia of RadioSpeedTalk.com. Obviously, we talk every week with Pete and or Cliff about the upcoming races in the race schedule. And again, normally the show is aired live on Saturday mornings, but we are taping it due to the fact that I will be traveling down to Evansville for my granddaughter's first birthday, and as well as a fitting. I don't want to use the word memorial because he's not dead, guys, but a fitting memory to Peyton Manning, number 18, parting ways with the Indianapolis Colts. Certainly, guys, we want to hear your comments, IndyProSports.com or on TheBalanceOnline.com. Now, Pete, two races after the 2012 Sprint Cup season has really been on different spectrums of what one would think would have happened. Those that came out weak in Daytona seemed to do well last week in Phoenix, and those that did strong seemed to do weak in Phoenix. And obviously, Phoenix winner Denny Hamlin, Greg Biffle, and Kevin Harvick are all ready to head to this weekend with some momentum, obviously, Denny Hamlin. But and then some drivers had a miserable showing in Daytona, came back strong at Phoenix, like your daughter's favorite driver, JJ, Jimmy Johnson.
Yeah, thanks for reminding me of that one. Hey.
was dominant for most of the day, and really I thought was going to be a sure winner there in Phoenix. Now, again, at the opposite end of the spectrum, Clint Bowyer had a solid Daytona 500, but had two blown right front tires early at Phoenix and placed him in a really miserable 30th place, along with Jeff Burton, was in line for his second straight top 10 of the season when his engine blew late in the going, and a similar fate fell to Marcus Ambrose as well. So what kind of calculations are the teams and team owners and crew chiefs looking at Daytona and Phoenix as they move into Las Vegas? Because as far as temperature-wise, it's very, very similar to Phoenix.
Well, it's going to be very similar. It is a little bit longer, and this is the big thing that they need to look at in Phoenix or Las Vegas is it is one of the first of many what people tend to call cookie-cutter tracks, i.e. mile-and-a-halves, which is the length of a track that we have the most of for the season. A big majority of the races are on the mile-and-a-half, so whether they be at a Las Vegas, a Kansas, a Chicago, or you name it, the mile-and-a-halves, they need to start seeing what kind of data they can get, how these cars are working on these tracks. So they're doing more than just racing. Obviously, it's early in the season. Somebody can recover. But we also want to see what are our cars doing, especially with the new electronic fuel injection, how they're going to handle on these tracks. I mean, again, we've got a big chunk of races coming up that are all mile and a half, just one after another. So the data from that is one thing they need to. So you're not going to see a lot of start and parks in this one. We're still early enough in the season. A lot of them still have good amounts of money in their coffers. So you're going to see big packs out on the track as opposed to towards the end of the season where they start 10 laps into it, 10 cars, 12 cars are off the track already just because no money for these teams to run. So, again, what they need to do, they're going to be looking at what they can do there. The heat is obviously an issue, too, because if you think about it, it being a southern sport, what happens in the south during the summer? It gets hot. So you're going to see all these tracks, and we're going to want to see what these cars do at these tracks. I will go back. Going back to Phoenix, you got to give kudos to Goodyear. They brought an excellent tire there that wasn't wearing down too bad on the right side. Because if you notice, when people were taking two tires during the Phoenix, they were taking left side tires when they usually take the right side. So Goodyear has came up with a good compound for what these teams are doing. Let's hope that this compound works on Las Vegas. We're not going to see too many tire issues. We did see a handful at the beginning of the race, especially with Clint Bowyer. I mean, I think he had cut tires twice in the first, like, 20 laps. So other than that, you take that out of the equation, all in all, the tires were doing really well there, and they're going to hold up in the heat in Vegas.
All right, well, let's speaking of Vegas, obviously we know what happened in Vegas last year with Dan Weldon last season. By IndyCar as their season prepares to open up. It gets closer and closer with out there in St. Petersburg. So let's take a look at IndyCar. What does it look like? Minus Danica, IndyCar. Obviously, what I like about IndyCar, and I spent a lot of time of the summer just, following the circuit last year, for this show and for Trackside Review and just some other media outlets. I really, really enjoyed, following the Indy Lights series. And a guy to watch out for there in the Indy Lights series this year, did a good job last year, is a guy by the name of David Ostella. and is a fantastic driver, and it's pretty solid and consistent as well. So let's look at some of the Indy Lights series. Let's look at the Grand Am series. Let's look at some of those other series races as IndyCar gets ready to make its debut down in St. Petersburg, Florida. What are some of the X factors that are going to happen going into the IndyCar, and what are your thoughts on the Indy Lights series this year?
Well, the Indy Lights series, I really like the fact that and this goes back to what at least the handful of races that I've seen, minus the Indy 500. I like the fact that my only other experiences are I've been to Mid-Ohio several times, and I went to St. Petersburg once. The years that I went, and when I saw that they do the Indy Lights same day, so fans who want to see the future of the IRL, they can come earlier in the morning and watch those races. They also get to see what these people can do. I like the competitiveness on there. I know that you said you liked, refresh member, who'd you say you was the star that you saw in the Indy Lights that you liked?
David Ostella, yeah, with Jensen Motorsport. Yeah.
David, you know who really impressed me, and it's just because I think she's got a cool name. It was Pippa Mann. Mm-hmm. I just thought she was a great driver. Yeah, she didn't have some great finishes, but she is a future star. I haven't looked lately. Is she still going to be in the Indy Lights this year? You might be able to refresh my memory.
I believe Pippa Mann has a full-time ride this year as part of Letterman Rahal. I could be wrong about that, but I'm pretty sure.
I'm looking at the list, and I don't see her on the IRL part, so I didn't know if maybe she was still down in Indy Lights. But
she might be, yeah. I'll have to check on that. Thanks for...
Okay,
for...
But that's a person I think is right there. I think it's a great series. It doesn't cost a whole lot for the teams to run them. And it's probably one of the better for lack of a better term, minor league
sure.
things that will help drivers come up. And if I'm not mistaken, we don't see IRL drivers drop down like we do, say, in the in NASCAR dropping down an NHRA truck, or
right.
where we see NHRA drivers dropping down into the other series to race. This one is like, hey, no, let them do their thing, and then we'll bring them up to our level.
All right. Well, real quickly here, and I guess I just because I live here in Indianapolis, and I got a lot of friends involved with USAC, and it's really fun to watch Tony Stewart's race team in the USAC races as well. And I tell you, I wish I had time to really get into it. When I was out in Milwaukee this past summer with the IndyCar series, USAC brought up its little mini USAC where the kids were racing, and it was really neat to watch these. Kids race, and really need to watch these up and coming guys. Now, one thing that I like about USAC is the different types of tracks that they sanction. Obviously, the circle track, the off road, the hill climb, the land speed, and some of the MotoGP as well. So USAC is a great place, race fans, and typically you can go watch a good USAC race and not spend a fortune. And it's just you. A lot of times you can catch them at your local tracks as well. But many, many, many times, guys, you will see the future of IndyCar and NASCAR in a USAC car. So real quickly, Pete, any thoughts on USAC as we move into this weekend?
Well, I don't happen to know where they're racing at this weekend, but I agree with you 100%. You are going to see the future of NASCAR, of IRL, all the bigger racing, F1. They are all going to start in USAC races. I love the fact that I can go to an Eldora on the weekend of the Indy 500 and go to the Johnny Appleseed race out there, and you're going to see guys that are going to be driving in those USAC races alongside other people that are you're going to see them driving along other people that are basically there to have fun, and local guys too that can actually say, hey, you know what, I didn't drive in NASCAR, but I got to race against a Casey Kane on a Sunday night in May in the middle of Ohio. So that's a great thing about what you see with that. It's really competitive.
Well Pete, I hate to interrupt you. I really do, but we are up against the clock here, and our show's about to end here.
Time flies, doesn't it?
Yeah, yes, it does. So where can people find your work? And we'll see you a week from Saturday on our show.
Yeah, you can check us out at RadioSpeedTalk.com. This week we have Eddie Krawick, the 2011 NHRA Pro Stock Motorcycle Champion, on. He's previewing. This is the first week that the NHRA Pro Stock Motorcycles get to race at the Gator Nationals. He's on for a nice chunk of the show.
All right. Pete LaFuchsia, RadioSpeedTalk.com. Guys, that's going to do it for a very special episode of The Balance. Remembering Peyton Manning, make sure that you give us your comments on www.thebalanceonline.com. Remember, guys, don't drink and drive. We'll see you next week.
A long, difficult process. I know Peyton and I have had numerous conversations over the months, and we always kept trying to come back to the circumstances that were before us. And we tried to put each other in each other's shoes and tried to realize what the situation was for the franchise, what it was for Peyton. And in the end, those circumstances were too difficult to overcome.
For 14 wonderful years, the only professional football I've known has been Colts football.
Well, when I say when you gotta go, you gotta go.
You have made me very angry. Very angry indeed.
Oh, son of a bitch, son of a bitch, gun. You thought I was gonna say son of a bitch, didn't you?
That's all, folks.